Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Our assignment from yesterday. Can you see how the voices are framing your choices to ensure that you never win? Example, I need to maintain a situation that doesn't support me or I need to leave. In the first choice, I feel bad because I'm trapped and there is no way out. In the other choice, I feel all the fear and uncertainty associated with making a change. What are the two choices the voices offer you? Here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Ashwini. It's Karen.
Well, hello, Karen.
Hello.
Good to hear from you. Long time no see.
I know. Well, I don't have work in the traditional way that we do because now I've retired, but what I'm seeing around all of this is how I set up my life kind of for success. That was really important to me, mostly because failure was like not an option.
Mm-hmm.
And I've talked about this before, the success and failure, how that's, and I wasn't actually a big success in my family, you know, but for me, it was good. I feel like my life was good and still is. So now what mm-hmm. I'm looking at for work, what I'm, you know, is the two choices are failure or failure. And wouldn't you know, and it's, I mean, and I can see it, but boy, actually taking action steps to make any sort of a movement, it's like it's just frozen.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, Karen, when you describe the work situation, of course, I wanted to step in and say, so egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate was making sure that you met the standard for success because failure was not on the table, right?
Yeah.
So it had you looking to it, right?
Yeah.
Is that good? Is that right? Are you being the good, right person? Does that mean you're successful? And so we can guess it was fairly happy with that arrangement because you were, you know, you were a good servant. And then you stopped being in that role, and so its whole storyline is just not going to hold up any longer, which then puts a person in the position that you're describing, which is, okay, we can't say everything is a failure because that's so we'll say, well, this is a failure, and that's a failure. This is a failure, and that's a failure, which would tend to result in a person being immobilized.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and they're, yes, exactly. And it can be even just ideas that,
yes.
You know, wonderful
no, you can't
ideas
do that.
That come up, and then, yeah, squash.
No, you can't do that.
And, yeah, it's just always... It just does that so much. And I look at my life and I think, how is this happening? I didn't let that stop me. It's not like that voice hasn't always been there. But I didn't, mm-hmm. I could go up against it.
So, Karen, what are you going to go up against it with? Now that you don't have that previous scenario, what are you going to say? Well, tough bananas voices. I'm doing that anyway.
Oh, and you're asking me content-wise what I would take
yeah.
on?
Uh-huh.
Oh, well, like the you know, the forever retreat that you're doing, that.
Uh-huh.
you know, I mean, I'm saying that, and it's, I'm kind. There's a cringe there because, like,
oh yeah, yeah, you're like cringing in a big way, huh? No,
it's so out there that it's, you know, it's just, it's so obvious, and and it's not only obvious to me. It's obvious, you know. It's like you just, it's just out there. It's like I can't. There's nowhere to hide with it, really.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
And
which is what you got to do, right?
Yeah, not hide.
So be
Yeah, not hide.
Well, right. When you were going to school, when you were starting your career, when you were now as a mother, as a wife and a mother, it's certainly easier to hide out. But what you went up against those voices with was to have a career.
Yeah.
A successful career.
Yeah.
And right?
I was,
and so
I was good at those kind of things. I was good at going to school. I was good at, I fit into a niche that was, that I could be successful at and that I liked, and, you know, and so now something has been presented and it, I'm like, oh my God, you know, all the
voices. Can I tell you where you've made your big mistake?
Yes.
You decided to do awareness practice.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was the big mistake. Yeah. Because once we make that as our, and I'm guessing out that since most of those other things in your life have fallen away, then you're really left with awareness practice. And in awareness practice, if that's what we decide we're going to do, there's going to be actually very little in it that we are good at and like.
Okay. Okay, that that kind of lands. That does land, because I'm just thinking of, like, you know, and I don't know that this has happened for me, but I know there's, I hear about, I imagine there's some jobs at the monastery that you could give me that this, all of this would come roaring up. Something
not
that
unless
I'm,
you, not unless you were there, which is the, as I tell people regularly, that's the point with the Forever Retreat. It's the thing that people can do who live in the world to be confronted with the same kind of horse pucky that monks are confronted with.
Okay, I see.
Yeah, because otherwise, you know, somebody gives you a job and, well, then it's just you and the voices trying to duke it out to find your willingness. And that's the world everybody's living in.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
Okay.
It's exciting,
well,
isn't it? It's exciting.
Yes. I'm going to, yes. Yes,
that
is. Okay.
Yeah. Some people would call it anxiety. We call it excitement. We call it thrill. We call it life force, lots of energy.
Okay, well, I'm glad you said that, too. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Karen.
Thank you, Ashley.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Karen. What I heard in that is the encouragement to always have structures in our lives that allow us to know where we are, because if we don't, then we don't know that we aren't doing the work of waking up and ending suffering, bringing it back to our top.
That's right.
Right?
That's right. We have to have things that ego runs into so that it reveals itself. You know, if it can control a person by just being kind of a quiet voice in the background, no, you don't want to do that. No, you don't want to do that. That's one thing. But if it has to start screaming no, we get to see it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. All right, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, good morning, Sherry and Ashwini. This is Diane.
Hello, Diane. What are you seeing?
I guess a couple of things. One, ego is telling me where that every month this is the point where I fall down. This is the point where it makes me confused. But what I'm seeing are the two bad choices is that I ping pong between. So I've got that in the background, but then I was like, well, just see what you can do with this. So this is what I came up with. On one side, there's the bad choice of not living up to my privilege, intelligence, education, and academic success. In other words, haven't done enough, made enough of a difference in the world. So that's one side.
Have left your mark.
Yeah. And I don't know if ego gets me with leaving my mark as much as, well, I don't know. We can call it whatever we want. I'm not going to worry.
Well, the thing about it is it probably doesn't, because making a difference in the world, you haven't made enough of a difference. Boy, talk about fuzzy. Right? So that no matter what you did, you wouldn't have done enough. You just haven't done enough. But when we put it into something like left your mark on the world, it becomes pretty clear that that's a very egocentric orientation, which the first one is too.
Yeah, it's back to the never enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nothing ever counts.
Nope.
And so there's that on one side, and then on the other side, there's the I don't want to, it's too hard, I can't, I'll fail. And either way, you get beaten up. You're beaten up because you didn't do enough. You're beaten up because you can't even start.
Because you're a whiny. Yeah, you're a whiny little victim.
Yeah, look at all that privilege. And listen to you, you can't even get started. What's wrong with you?
Yeah, that's it, isn't it? Yeah. And so one thing that you can, if you decided to engage with that nonsense, that you could bring to your side of it is, I'm not falling for that this is where I quit business, this is where I fall down business. I'm just not doing that. Okay? So here we go. Which is what you did.
Yes. It's like, okay, well, let's see what does happen. Let's just do what we can and see what we come up with.
Yes. And what you came up with was how ego has been doing this to you. Right? Which, again, we're never supposed to see. Yeah, if you write that down in big letters, the two sides of that duality, those two bad choices, you'll see ego trying to run that scam on you in every aspect of your life.
Oh, yes, this is not news.
No, not at all. Not at all. But that's what you're not supposed to realize. So now it has not confused you. You have not quit. Okay? You've kept going and you've seen it really clearly. This is where, again, we make a poster with it in big letters and we start recording about all of our insights about how and where that's showing up so that it's not able to do that to us any longer.
Yes, there's one
because
thing.
It's not true.
Yes, and it's one thing to see it. It's another thing to take action moment by moment to go up against it.
Do you see what you just did? You look to it to tell you how you're going to fail. What you look to it and believed what it told you rather than realizing what it was doing. Now, because I've reflected it back to you, you realize what it's doing. It's saying, okay, well, yeah, you've seen that, but you're not going to see it next time. You can't see that moment by moment by moment.
I think what it's saying is you're powerless.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, you can see it, but you can't do a darn thing about it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. 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 Add that to your poster. Make that one as the next one. So if you're doing a process map, you're getting lots of information about how it's doing that. So now you really want to do something, right? Because you said get started. So I'm guessing you're going to get started with something, all right? And so the process that we can employ is you want to get started. So say are you an hour different time than us or 2 hours?
An hour.
It's an hour. Okay. So at 10:45, you're going to get started. And what you're going to do in the process of getting started is to make your posters and record about what you've seen so far. And then you're going to get started. And you're going to get started with one eye on what it's going to do next to try to stop you, what it's going to say. Okay? And it's going to say it, and being identified with ego, you're going to believe it. But instead of doing that, you're going to write it in big letters so that you recognize it. And then you're going to get started, and you're going to watch how it tries to stop you next time. Okay? That's the minute by minute by minute by minute action that we can take. Okay?
All right, I got my homework.
You got your homework. You go.
My rest
because
of my life
the thing
homework.
We know, the thing we know, Diane, is that you're really good at doing this stuff. That's how you come up with the first list of all of the accomplishments and that sort of thing. You can follow a program.
Wait, first list?
Yeah, you know, all of the stuff that you've accomplished academically, all of your successes. You know how to do that. Now, you haven't done enough with it. That's the story, but it doesn't try to tell you you didn't do it, because you did.
Okay.
Yeah? All right. Here we go.
All right. Thank you both.
Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye. Let me know now. Okay. Let me know because this is big.
This is big.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Diane.
Thank you.
Go happy.
It's an interesting. Go happy. It's an interesting place, right, Cherry, that part of what is in the conditioned system is seeing it allows it to say, well, you've seen me, but your life isn't different anymore. And we fall for the fact that we believe that next, right?
Mm-hmm.
As opposed
mm-hmm.
to going, oh, it's coming from the same place. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, seeing it is the first step, and then ignoring it is the next.
Yes. Yes, well, yes, exactly. Recognize it. Okay, got that. Got that piece
got that.
Of ego's program, right? Got that.
Right.
And then, as we talked about with Diane, okay, what now? Well, yeah, but your life isn't any different even though you've seen this stuff. Okay, got that part of it. Okay, write that down, make recordings about that. Uh-huh, okay. What you got next?
Right.
What you got now?
Yeah. Yeah, and that eventually what we realize is the only thing we need to become aware of is where I'm looking, which is what you facilitated, Diane, into seeing, that it doesn't matter. Every single negative thing that is preventing you from taking the next step is coming from the same place. Once I realize that, I can practice not looking there anymore. Not that it will go away, but that I recognize the source of that and I no longer need to use it as what informs my experience.
Yes, yes, because me and thee, as well as everybody that we talk to in practice, we are all coming from the same place, right?
Yeah.
A deep desire in the heart to wake up and end suffering.
Yeah.
That's what we can look to.
Yes. Mm-hmm. As a sincerity of the practitioner.
Yes.
Doing this work.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Walking this path.
All right. Here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Good morning. This is Julian calling from Portland, Oregon.
Hello, Julian. What are you seeing?
Hello. I'm seeing a lot. I have been, you know, printing out the assignments and taking them to work with me, which is delightfully applicable.
Good for you.
I had some fun drop-ins really getting to know these voices because it just... At a certain point, writing them down in real time as they're happening at my desk, I just had this moment of realization of, oh, my God, this is not my job. This is just the voices.
Yes.
This isn't my work at all. This is just what the voices are talking about.
Yes, yes. And was there that feeling, Julian, of this is what they're always talking about?
Definitely.
This is the kind
yes.
of thing, yeah. They're always talking about this kind of thing. It doesn't matter where they are. They're always talking about the same thing.
Yes. Being this deep into the year, there are some characters who just show up for all of the content. And say a lot of the same thing. They just apply it to whatever we're looking at. So I know that there's a voice that is very drawn and wants me to feel like I really need to be productive. And that voice is often followed by one that wants me to be distracted because I get overwhelmed by all of that bossing around about how much more quickly I need to work. And so just having a moment of being so present to these barrage of voices and realize and looking at my desk, at my work and thinking, oh my God, I don't even know what you are. I'm just somewhere else completely, you know?
Uh-huh. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
oh, so
that's been a lovely insight. And it's made my job feel almost a little bit mysterious in a weird way. I have some new curiosity about it.
About what it would be like really to be completely wholeheartedly participating in what you're doing for all of these hours out of your day.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah, and as soon as you say that, a little voice in my head will say, that's not possible. You couldn't be, you can't be present all day. And yet, like, well, what the heck do you know? You don't know that.
Exactly. The only thing we know is you're not present. Period.
Yeah.
Right? So how would you be the place I'd want to look to find out what I'm capable of?
Yeah, that voice that just immediately seeks to limit experience.
Yes, yes. And that's exactly it, Julian. That's exactly it. There is the moment of insight, and then we have to be so present to recognize the couple of beats before that voice comes in to say, in essence, no. It might say, you can't, you don't want to, you don't feel like it, it's too hard, there's this, there's that, there's something else. But it's always, its message is always no.
It is.
And it's just loping along right behind the moment. Because it has to, it is no. Right? So it's got to be there for every yes. And of course, every moment of life is a moment of yes.
Right. I think you were talking to a caller a couple of days ago about staying present to what now, instead mm-hmm. of what next. Because I also mm-hmm. have a planner voice in my head that I'll be in, you know, working and thinking about scheduling things, and all of a sudden it's again like, okay, there's this somatic experience of stress. And I get confused that it's brought on by my job, but it's not. It's a constant conversation about what I have to do yes. later, or even what I have to yes. do for my job later. But it's not what my yes. job is requiring in the moment.
That's right. That's right. And the other point that you made that is essential is that it wants to make sure that I'm distracted so that I don't actually accomplish what I would accomplish if I were present, so that it keeps that story alive, that this is overwhelming, there's just too much to do, you can't do it, you can't keep up, this it's just, it's too hard, this is beyond you. And so right. what you've seen is, well, let's see if I'm actually here for it.
Mm-hmm. And I like what you were saying to a caller yesterday about the things that, you know, there's a lot of ideas, there's a lot of action in the mind, a lot of things that come every day, but there are certain things that will come back around. And so this idea that if I'm having things come up while I'm at work, rather than thinking I need to schedule and plan how to make all of them happen, that, okay, like, you know, I'm going to stay present to what's happening right now, and I'm going to, things will come back around that life is asking of me.
That's right.
Because I get bamboozled right. a lot by that voice at work. Oh, yeah, I could do that. Okay, well, how do I make that happen? And all of a sudden, I'm not at the desk anymore. I'm somewhere else.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what we can learn to say, of course, is, good idea. Let me jot this down. We'll look at this when there's time and space.
Yeah, exactly.
And then if
so anyway,
you know, the
good.
Intelligence ever brings it up again, you can look at it, but if it doesn't, you still jotted it down.
Yeah, and there's always stuff coming up anyway, so I'm sure life will bring up many things, and it's okay if not all of them happen.
Yes, yes. And making peace with the fact that if it never happens, it just means it never happened. And it also means, as far as we can tell, it was never going to happen. Because only what
yeah.
happens.
And even the write-up for this assignment about peeling the potatoes, like, okay, maybe that won't happen, but I'm sure I'll peel potatoes again. And if I can enjoy that, then doesn't really matter if that happens or doesn't happen.
Right. Right. Just be here to enjoy this.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Julian. Sherry, would you like, I think we could squeeze in one more caller. Shall
okay.
we try? All
yeah.
right. Here we go.
Let's
next
do
caller,
it.
You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Celia in Seattle.
Hello.
Hi.
What
so,
are you seeing?
I'm seeing,
Seattle?
Yes, I'm seeing two huge, very loud voices. One is, you have to go back to the studio to paint after lunch. You absolutely have to. And then the other voice is, everything I do in the studio amounts to nothing. And I'm seeing so much more now how I fall for both of those. I just go back and forth. I just go back and forth.
Yes, yes. You have gone back and forth, which we do until we realize it's a duality.
Yeah.
Right? Once we see that, that's like a neon sign that says, that's ego. That's conditioning. Oh, my. I don't need to attend to that. That's a false reality that doesn't actually exist except in a conditioned mind. It's not real. It's not real. Back to the breath. Where are my feet? Oh, they're right there. Oh, they're here. Oh, I'm here. All right. Well, what now?
Hmm.
If
I really
in that
like
quiet place, life will inform. And it's probably, it's not going to say you have to go back to the studio and paint.
You know, I really appreciate the phrase false reality, because I find that, yes, I recognize the voices, and then I think, oh, well, I have to do this to counter the voice. But that's not helpful either.
No, that's just bringing in another duality.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what we're learning to see is that all duality, no matter how nicely it's dressed, it's still ego. It's still not real. It's imaginary. It's an imaginary reality. It doesn't exist.
Hmm. Yeah.
Was that a little... kind of a little giggle there?
Yeah. So what's coming up right now then is all these pictures of paintings that come into my mind. Well, that's false reality too. That hasn't happened yet. None of those paintings have happened yet.
That's right. It's just imagination. And imagination is one of ego's biggest tools. It's constantly imagining a world that does not exist.
Okay, this is huge.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. So I would encourage that same process. And you may want to listen to this call again, right? And make yourself, you're an artist. Make yourself some nice pieces of art there that point this out to you, so that you recognize what duality is and when you're in it, and that it's a false reality. It's not true. It's not real. It's just imagination. It's all happening in conditioned mind. And then you're here. Because where are you seeing that from? You can only be seeing that from here, from the intelligence that animates.
Hmm. Yeah, good.
Yep.
All
big
right.
Spiritual deal, huh?
Yes. Yes. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Celia.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Feel happy. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Celia. And, Sherry, that brings us to the end of the show, our assignment for today. As you read over how suffering happens for you, can you get a sense of the karma behind this issue? What beliefs, assumptions, projections, behavior do you consistently choose that result in suffering? Example, the karma is to take personally what someone says, believing that what they say is a judgment of who I am rather than feedback on my actions or behavior. In going with the karma, I don't ever have the experience of identifying with authenticity and seeing the human being from the perspective of center. What gets reinforced is my identification with ego. RL, what you see.
Well, we're ready for that one, aren't we? All
sure
right.
Are.
Well, thank you, Ashwini. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Sherry. Go happy.
Go happy.